Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dovan, the moderator for this conference call. I thank everyone for joining us today for the Ercon International Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 analyst conference call. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Today, we have with us the senior management, represented by Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Sri B. Muguntan, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director of Finance, and Sri Alin Roy Chaudhary, CGM Finance. I would like to remind you that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. It is subject to several risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially differ. I would now like to hand the conference over to Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, for the opening remarks, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorvin. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Ercon. On behalf of my team, I extend a warm welcome to you and thank you for your presence today at the Ercon's earning call for second quarter and 6 months ended 30th September 2023. I have with me Sri B. Mukuntan, CFO and ED Finance, Sri Alin Roy Chaudhary, CGM Finance, and Sri Sachin Garg, DGM Finance. As you all are aware, we have recently been granted Navratna status from Government of India. With the grant of Navratna status, the company should be able to undertake larger size PPP projects, and it will definitely enhance the market credibility of the company. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to all the stakeholders for their continuous and unwavering support, without which this would not have been possible. We shall continue to perform with greater zeal, zest, and aspire to reach greater heights. I am pleased to report that your company has recorded highest ever turnover in the second quarter despite of seasonally weak quarter. Our three teams have showcased remarkable dedication, profound technical expertise, and an untiring commitment to conquer all challenges in this period and deliver exceptional results. I'm sure you've all had the opportunity to review the company's financial results and the presentation that we've submitted to the stock exchanges. Let me now take you through the financial performance of Q2 FY24. The company has reported total revenue of Rs. 3136 crores in Q2 FY24. This is up by 36% as compared to Rs. 2306 crores for the same period last year. PAT has increased by 44% to Rs. 251 crore as compared to Rs. 174 crore in Q2 FY23. Core EBITDA has also gone up by 16%. Earnings per share has gone up by Rs. 2.67 per equity share in Q2 FY24 as against Rs. 1.85 per equity share in the last fiscal Q2 FY23 on a face value of Rs. 2 per share. Order book of the company as at 30th September 2023 stood at Rs. 32,152 crores, which comprises 53% orders on competitive basis and balance on nomination basis. 92% of our orders book pertains to domestic business and 8% international. Currently, Ercon has 11 subsidiaries comprising renewable power, roads and highways companies. Ercon also has 7 joint venture companies, as you all are aware. Now, without taking much more time, I would like to open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit from Antique. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. My first question is to do with order inflow. What segments are you really looking for the new order inflows? What could be the targeted amount in this particular fiscal? What is the amount that we have won till date? If you could throw something more color on it, this would be really helpful.
So as we stated, as of 30th September, my order book stands at ₹32,152 crores, which is pretty much where we were about 3 months back. So we have been able to get new orders, oblique change in scope in our orders to continue maintaining the 30th June numbers. Going forward, we hope to continue this trend, but considering the fact that some of our, the business opportunities are at fairly advanced stage, but it is beyond us on when they may fructify. The orders essentially will continue in railways and highways sector, but overall I see the company being in the range of about 30,000 crore order book by the FY 31st March 2024. We will continue to focus on competitive jobs both in India as well as outside of India.
Ma'am, if I have to look at the bigger picture, that is, if your order backlog remains static, this will technically impair your ability to grow your revenue as such. And on top of it, the core EBITDA margins are also on a declining trend. So would it not bode well if you're looking for much bigger opportunities?
There are two things. So one thing is that my EBITDA or core EBITDA is not on a declining trend. You have to understand that when I do hand business, a lot of my income comes from interest. So if you were to consider that interest, my core EBITDA margins are where we expected them to be. Currently, see, the point is that we had a very high order book of about 44,000 crores at one point in time. And therefore, it's been a good number vis-a-vis the turnover. But if you see an industry average, typically 2 to 2.5 times is what the order book is for other companies. So to that extent, we are fairly stable now. We are not saying that we are not focusing on larger jobs or big ticket jobs, but you know, at the end of it, there are a lot of extraneous factors, including the political environment, which determines when these jobs will come. So we are fairly well positioned in many of these areas, but when these will come could be end of this fiscal year, could be beginning of next fiscal year. And we see ourselves continuing to grow, going forward, as we've been maintaining in the past also. And we shall be getting orders in due course.
Sure, appreciate that.
Thanks. Thank you.
If you could help me explain the investment positions that you have in the SCDs, both in terms of equity plus the loans and advances, and how is the income that you're booking out from those investments?
So, if you see my investments, I have a total investment of, I have already invested about 2,200 crores till now. And these are spread into my road and highway projects, as well as into coal connectivity and renewable projects. Now, the amount that I still need to invest is another 1,100 crores, which will be partially this year, partially next year, and maybe a small amount a year after that. Out of all of my JVs and subsidiaries, you are aware that two of my road highway projects are toll projects in subsidiaries and one in JV. So there what I get is a toll revenue, which gets directly added to my operating revenue. Then as far as my HAM projects are concerned, I get an annuity after every half yearly or every quarter. And there, again, a part of that element goes into my core operating revenue and a part of it comes as a part of my other income, the interest that they give me as a part of my HAM. And then the third are assets which are under construction currently, which obviously will continue to give me revenue after they are constructed. And in the coal JVs, my revenue comes, I mean, obviously, because they are JVs, so I basically add profit in my consolidated balance sheet, but per se their source of revenue is fair sharing.
Just to reconcile, this equity of 22 billion and another 11 billion, this is inclusive of equity plus loans and advances, or is that in?
So it is inclusive of equity and loans and advances, but those mostly those loans are interest free loans. They are in the nature of quasi equity only.
Sure, that's it from our side. Should there be any more questions, I'll get back into queue.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of CA Akash Dhanuka, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations, ma'am, for getting that Navratna status.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And before I begin, ma'am, I want to wish a very happy Diwali to everyone present.
Yes, absolutely. To you all too. Happy festivities.
Thank you, ma'am. Now the questions, ma'am. In the last con call, ma'am, you gave a guidance of 10% over FY23 with respect to the sales, the revenue. So do you maintain that or do you increase that?
No, I increase that slightly because now that the half year is passed and we have surpassed that guidance, so I would say it would be close to about 15%.
15% over FY23, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said, ma'am, that your core EBITDA is not declining. But if we go to the presentation, ma'am, the core EBITDA that you had mentioned in your presentation, that mentions around somewhere around 1.25% decline on the core EBITDA part, which doesn't include the HAM annuity.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, what happens is that, ultimately all our projects, as I keep maintaining, that these are long-term projects. So if we were to see quarter-on-quarter or half-year-to-half-year, a few decimals here and there it can be. But if I was to look at an overall number, it is what we've been maintaining till now, that my EBITDA will be in the range of 10 to 11% and my core EBITDA will be about 8%. So to that extent, I think we've been fairly higher than what we've been telling you all that we'll be maintaining. And
okay.
At PAT levels, I've always maintained this will be overall 7 to 7.5%.
PAT.
Yeah, PAT.
Okay, ma'am.
You know,
okay.
Because, you know, when you're doing this, there are certain assets which are under construction. There are certain interests which can flow in later. So for a company like ours, that's the overall number on which you will have to go. Rather than assuming that, you know, there is a quarter decline in, you know, over a period in certain things, that could also be because of certain provisions that may have come up. But holistically speaking, that's going to be my trend.
Okay, okay. Ma'am, in this quarter, the other income was 149 crores, 149.50. And can you just provide us, help us with the HAM annuity interest in this, the breakup of 149?
Yeah. So, HAM annuity interest is my kitna hai? 45 crores ke aas paas.
Okay, okay. So, ma'am, if in the Q4 last year conference call, you had mentioned that the other income inclusive of this HAM annuity would be somewhere around 550 crores. We have achieved 260 in the first half. So, can we achieve that 550 stuff?
Yeah, because 6 months mein 260 jo hai aapka. So, I didn't get your question because we are already at 260 overall other income.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
In the Q4 conference call, you had guided for a 550 crores other income, which includes the HAM annuity. So, I'm just trying to confirm that do we maintain that? Will we achieve that 550?
Yeah, because we are already at 260. So, total number, so we should be in the range of 520 to 550.
Okay, okay. Two more questions, ma'am.
Including that, it is the total other income that we are talking about, yeah?
Correct, yes.
Yes.
Two questions, ma'am, on the new order inflow, ma'am. In the G20, that railway project in the Middle East was declared by many countries, which includes India. So do we expect anything out of that, because that is fairly a large order?
See, right now, when it was declared in G20, it is after that, the various countries at the topmost levels are right now conceptually envisaging and closing it. So it may take time, but definitely IRCON will have a good role to play there. The reality will only be known to us once it's properly worked out and taken out. So railways, Indian Railways is aware of this and it is also aware of the credibility and the credentials that Aircon carries. Yes, from a long-term point of view, it should be something we should be participating in.
Can you quantify that good role?
No, because right now even it's not even quantified at the country level.
I mean, percentage-wise, not the value-wise.
But, again, unless you know what the product is all about, unless you know what exactly are they thinking, how do I qualify or quantify it?
Okay. The second one is, ma'am, just before G20, a couple of weeks ahead of G20, the railway minister had announced the expansion of railway lines in certain areas which was congested. So, I mean, because that is specific to India, do we get a good chunk of orders from that?
See, all orders that railways will come out with are on competitive basis. And as of now, we are well placed to get them. But again, announcements ke baad, by the time they fructify into tenders and then we quote and we get, it takes time. But definitely, we are one of the strong contenders for it.
Okay. Just one last thing, ma'am, with respect to this order. I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong. There are only two companies in India who are into the railway lines. I mean, not the infrastructure, just the lines, just the setting up of the lines, which is RVNL and Aircon, right? No other third company is present.
Oh, that is not true. These two are the public sector companies that are essentially into it. There are many private players as well.
Okay. And lastly, ma'am, I mean, I don't know whether I should be asking this, but I'll try my luck out. I mean, though it was non-investable stuff, but 15 big investors had a meeting with you. You, in the sense, the company. Are they really interested in getting a long-term investor as an investor within the company, or it was just as a normal update with them? I mean, because they were fairly big names.
Yeah. So it is a normal update. Nowadays, what DIPAM is doing is they're trying to get all public sector companies to have regular interaction with some good large investors, both in India as well as outside India, so that, you know, if they have any questions on us or if they require any one-to-one discussions, those can be facilitated. The idea is for them to know us in more depth and more frequently. So it was one of those meetings. Nothing more than that.
Okay. Finally, the last one. I'm stretching it a little too much, but just the last one. Confirm the last one. In the last conference call, you had said 3-4 times that please keep trust on us. We'll achieve that order book guidance. I just wanted to confirm once again. I mean, despite the low order inflow as of now, we keep that guidance that, should I go by your words, that please keep trust on us, we'll achieve it.
See, what I've just mentioned, in fact, just at the beginning of the call, I have stated that while we've maintained the 32,000 to 32,000 in this quarter, but going forward, some of the opportunities which we were expecting to have it in this year, they may get, the eventual award could come to us early next year. And these are because of certain circumstances which are beyond us, because we are working in an industry where a lot of factors create an extraneous limitation for us. And therefore, I have in fact myself told you that we would revise our order book position for the year end at a level close to 30,000 crores.
Okay. Yeah. No issues, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of top line. Ma'am, a couple of questions from my side. One, coming back to order inflow, so we've done closer to 2,800 odd crores and we were, targeting, say, 10,000 odd crores. So, one, is it fair to assume, as you just mentioned, that some orders which we are targeting would be coming to us next year? So is it fair to assume that is it primarily because of the delays which are happening in the system, or it is also because a lot of our competitors, or since, you know, the sector has been opened, there are other players who are taking these orders?
So the ones that I'm talking about and which we were very sure that we will be getting in this year previously, those are getting delayed. And because they're getting delayed, therefore I'm saying that I'm revising my order book expectation. But in terms of competition, yes, the competition is there. But as we've been maintaining, there are certain areas or certain scales in which we are not even competing. So if it's a very small ticket job of a limit of about 50 crores, 200, 200 crores, we may not be competing there, and we anyway don't expect ourselves getting a job there. So those are happening. But the ones that I'm referring to, which we were fairly certain we'll be getting this year, that has been delayed.
Okay. Got it. Sure. Secondly, ma'am, in terms of revenue guidance, you know, even if I do the higher end of what you indicated of 15%, we'll be closer to 11,000 odd crores, whereas in 1H, already we are at, you know, half of it. So are we, you know, still under guiding, or is it fair to assume, that, you know, we can easily surpass this?
So, you know, the point is that we are now coming into a period where we will also... See, a lot of execution pressure was also there because of the upcoming elections. We are an infra company, so that is going to go down now. So to that extent, what we are maintaining right now is what we are comfortable with and we are certain about. And that is the reason we have told a number of about close to 15%.
Got it. And ma'am, any number for F25 in terms of order inflows or revenue guidance?
We definitely are on a growth path, but in terms of saying that what would be our growth number, it will really depend on the order inflows. And some of these orders, the big ticket orders that we are focusing on currently and which we are saying it may get delayed, a lot will depend also in which part of the year they come next year also. You know, because till May, there would be some, this thing, you know, there will be certain slowdown in terms of giving orders as well. So I think I'll be in a better position to give a 2025 number closer to the next investor call that we do.
Got it. Fair point. Ma'am, in terms of our cash and bank balance, if you can share that number, our own cash and bank balance?
Our own cash and bank balance is close to 750 crores. And otherwise, of course, the overall number is 5,000 crore plus.
Right. So last quarter, it was closer to 900. So the balance has gone towards the equity investments?
Yeah, so from last quarter to this quarter, it's essentially been equity investments.
Got it.
And so, also dividend.
Right. And ma'am, just to understand, you know, that we've got this status. So how does it help? You know, one, as you rightly pointed out, probably in terms of taking larger orders, it might help you. But in terms of monetization of assets, does it give us any leeway?
So monetization of assets, we have to take the government permissions at different levels, and they are irrespective of whether we are a Miniratna or a Navratna. But those are, that is true for any public sector company. Navratna basically helps us in bidding for higher big-ticket PPP projects. And also it gives us a little bit more flexibility in terms of our financial and HR-related matters.
Okay.
So for internal working, it should ease out with Navratna status.
Got it. So it's more pertaining to administrative rather than, you know, financial or some perspective.
Financial, it is from the perspective that I mentioned that we'll have higher equity that we can invest in PPP projects.
Okay.
You know, the kind of bids that we get, there are times when there are weightages for being a Navratna company also and all. So in QCBS or in credentials, so obviously it will play a positive role overall. And it would be more in terms of these getting certain better technical qualifications, getting better rates from maybe lenders, getting more PPP-driven jobs. So those are the aspects where financially we should benefit out of it.
Got it. And then one last question from my side. in terms of bid pipeline, you know, what would be the current bid pipeline, you know, probably where we are targeting or where we have already placed the bids and probably the results are yet to come out?
So, I think we are targeting bids in the range of 25 to 30,000 crore right now. And there are certain bids where we have, kitne L1 we've emerged. L1 we've emerged in, just a minute.
Yeah.
Total bids that we've targeted is about 30,000 crore.
Okay.
And we are in the pipeline of having certain of these bids open, close to about, I think, 5,000 crores. So that we should get to know in another month or 2 months.
So just to clarify, 50,000 odd crores is where we have bid it. 5,000 odd crores is where we are L1.
50,000 crores is where we have bid it. And 5,000 crores we should get to know our fate in another month or 2 months.
Okay, okay. But we are not in L1 in any of these.
So these are yet to be opened.
Okay, okay. But are we L1 in any of these projects where, you know, we've yet to put it in an order book?
Already L1 have already been incorporated we've had a new order win of about close to 500 crores.
Okay.
Out of that 500 crores, about 200 crores is where we are L1 and where the LOA is awaited.
Got it.
Yeah, so those are the ones which we obviously, right now we haven't reported to stock exchange because we are awaiting for a formal letter from them.
Got it. Thank you, ma'am, and wish you and your team a very happy Diwali and a happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Same to you all. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Periwal from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
In quarter two is maintained. So can you clarify, like, what is a new order win in quarter two and what is the scope change in this?
So, you know, we are doing one project in Sikkim, Sivok Rangpur project. So we've had an order increase there of close to 4,000 crores. Sivok, the increase is about 3,000 crores. And there are certain other increases as well. So overall, the increase in my order book because of change in scope is close to 4,000 crores.
Okay.
And the new orders that I've got, we've recently announced MSME job that we've got. That is 85 crores, but that's a consultancy job of 85 crores. So if I was to keep it at par with my EPC job, that 85 crores would be equivalent to about 1,500 to 1,800 crores on an EPC basis.
Okay. So just a clarification, see, because we have done a top line of roughly 2,900 odd crores. So when we are saying that new order win in terms of scope change is 4,000, so is there any some sort of deduction in order book?
Order? So we just indicated also that MCRL phase 2, which is one of my joint ventures, Mahanadi Coalfields Railway Limited, there the phase 2 is being taken over by railways. So I've reduced that order book. Earlier we were supposed to do it.
Okay. And then in your presentation, if I can just flip on the page number 21, which has an annual financial statement, which is particularly P&L.
Page 21.
So it has annual standalone numbers, and core EBITDA margin is roughly like 5.88% in this. If one has to look at probably FY24, can you guide, like, you know, where exactly this could the number?
This is standalone core EBITDA.
Yes.
So standalone core EBITDA would be in the range of 5 to 6%. But on a consolidated level, because we continue to get HAM interest, etc., that is where we've been maintaining our numbers.
Okay. So in terms of numbers, this 5.88, it will be broadly in this range. Though, there is a top line.
On a standalone, because all my PPP projects are beyond standalone.
Got it. No, but since, like, you know, when we are doing EPC work, top line is getting increased. So any benefit of like, you know, your fixed cost getting absorbed at a higher rate, higher revenue?
Fixed cost is very low, Vishal. So, okay. I mean, it will probably affect probably in minutest of decimals. That is where our leeway is. I mean, if you see, if I was to exclude project expenses, my employee cost and other fixed costs are nominal.
Okay.
They are in the range of 1 to 2%.
Sure, ma'am. Yeah, got it. Yeah, that's all from my side, ma'am. Thank you very much for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atharva Butada from Purnartha. Please go ahead.
So, ma'am, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just had two questions. One was regarding IRSDC. The Ministry of Railways has asked for a slum sale by December 2024. So I wanted to understand what was the main role of this company and how are proceeding with the sale of the company.
So, you know, IRSDC, it was developing certain stations and then it was running and operating the stations. Railways, Ministry of Railways is now consolidating all of that exercise and housing it with RLDA. So as a part of that consolidation, Railways decided that IRSDC needs to be shut and all its operations as well as assets need to get transferred to RLDA. And the stations which are already developed, they've gone to the respective zonal railways. That is where it is. Now, in regarding the slum sale, of course, because the company has, I mean, their assets have to get transferred and then subsequently this company has to shut down. Therefore, it is going to happen on a slum sale and at a value which is being finalized as of now.
Okay, ma'am. And actually, I was going through the annual report and I didn't understand, why we were doing this. So we are having a lease agreement with RLDA and we are using IRSC to pay this lease. And then I think you are getting the money back from
Andhra plot land, and in fact, now that entire transaction is squared off completely.
Okay, so we won't have this
transaction. It was in April 23, so from now onwards, you don't have any of such things in our balance sheet. There was a Bandra plot, which was supposed to be developed by us, and for which there was a loan from IRFC and the land lease was through RLDA. But eventually there were some technical and political issues because of which there was a stalemate situation on that Bandra plot for some time. And therefore, Railways decided to end this transaction and take it back into the books of RLDA.
Okay, so now RLDA will... So have we lost any business opportunity due to that?
No, because even RLDA is just sitting with that piece of land right now.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead. Abhishek, the line for you has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. So, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question is, so the bids that we have in advanced stages, are they more towards tunneling or, you know, high-speed rail or just track laying for normal trains? Can you throw some light on that?
Yeah, so some of them are on tunneling and some of them are the doubling and the expansion projects and some of them are international opportunities that we are targeting. And some of them are road and highway projects.
Okay, so it's not skewed towards anything. It's more or less something of everything, I guess.
Yeah. Spread out in all directions.
Okay. And secondly, ma'am, in layman terms, how is a high-speed rail track different from a normal train track? Is there some niche that you have or is it pretty much the same?
So the bullet train project this is based on the technology from Japan, and their system of laying tracks as well as all associated paraphernalia, right from the slabs, the molds, as well as the kind of train that you will have running on it, everything is entirely different.
Okay, so having a niche here helps you. It gives you a competitive advantage.
Yes, because, you know, we'll be the first one who will be learning this in collaboration with the Japanese party. And once we are able to develop it, we'll have the experience to take on further opportunities in this area.
And ma'am, any projects apart from what is already, the work which is already going on, apart from that, is there any other big project in pipeline in high speed also, or it's only after election that we'll come to know?
Not as of now. So
DPR stage.
DPR stage ka chal raha hai abhi kuch cheez hai. So wohi depend karega ki kab nikalta hai uska tender and how, and you know, when do we get an opportunity to participate in it.
Okay, good to hear. And ma'am, lastly, ma'am, what ROI do we operate on for our JV companies, the coal projects and everything?
Sorry, I did not get your question.
What level of return on investment, ROI, do we operate at for our JV companies?
Yeah. So typically the IRR that we look at is about 12% to 14%, project IRR, and equity IRR in the range of 14% to 16%.
And that is something we will continue to maintain in future projects also.
Sorry?
That is something we are looking to maintain it in the future also.
Right now things are under construction, and in case of coal JVs, what is important is that once the traffic flows through it, that is what is going to be your source of revenue, the freight sharing. So while all of these JVs where we have are very coal-intensive areas, be it Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, or Odisha for that matter, but once we have completed the construction, we will be in a better position. But having said that, because it's a coal-rich belt, there could be a short-term issue where we may have some initial hitches. But on an overall perspective, we should be getting good returns.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my end. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atharva Butada from Purnartha. Please go ahead.
Actually, ma'am, last two questions. So, what is the bid success ratio for us?
Actually, you know, in our kind of company, it's very difficult to say what is the bid success ratio. Because there are a lot of jobs that you're trying to yourself seed while you're trying to bid for them, especially outside of India. And even within India, for example, when it comes to roads and highways, it is not about bid to success, but it is also about how much equity I want to invest and how much can I afford to go ahead in terms of PPP projects. Within railways also, it depends on the scale and the kind of job that it is. So if it is station development or if it's a small-time job, I will not even participate on those bids. And for mid and standard track laying facilities, maybe my success rate may be lower. But if it was to be something which has complex bridges, tunnels, or it is something which has to do something with niche technology, like we are doing the bullet train or the dedicated freight corridor, then my success rate goes up. Similarly, if it's a big ticket project, my success rate goes up. So it would be difficult to put an overall number to it.
Okay. And actually, I wanted to understand, what is the revenue contribution from our top 5 projects for half year? And what is the escalation percentage that we get? Is it like based on the inflation rate going on, or the WPI?
So we have a fixed formula for the escalations, which are built into the project, which are more to do with, you know, how much would be the labor cost increase and how much would be the material increase. And typically there is a formula where you will have a CPI, wholesale, all of these there. When if it's an imported, then there would be some linkages to international indices also. So that is how it is determined. And I didn't get your question. You wanted to know the top 5 projects in terms of our turnover.
Yeah, so like last year it was 60%.
So what is the cumulative turnover of top 5 projects is what you're asking?
Yes,
yeah, okay. So the turnover from top 5 projects is about 2,500, close to about, for the half year I'm talking, it's close to about 2,600.
Okay, ma'am. 2,600. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dovin, for moderating the call. I would also like to thank all our shareholders, business partners, analysts and investor friends who have continued to have faith in us and supported us throughout the journey. Happy festivities to all of you. Happy Diwali. We would be happy to connect with any and every one of you on a one-to-one basis if required for any further queries and take it forward. I conclude today's con call and thank you once again for all the active participation. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ercon International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.